Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the 5E Filibuster.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am David Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre, who rejoins us after a couple weeks' sabbatical.
Hi, good to be back.
And Eric Hatchschlager, who was also on sabbatical last week.
I was just at home. I was out sick. I wasn't on sabbaticals. Make it sound like I was, the mountains of Tibet or something.
Sabbatical sounds a lot cooler than throwing up the kidney beans. I was trying to bail you guys out.
Fair enough.
All right, so but we're gonna keep this nimble and get you going into your weekend. So let's go right to Eric. Did you take advantage of your sickness and watch anything interesting?
No, the back of my eyelids. I had to get to bed early that night. But I've been watching some good stuff. I know, Dave, I've been haranguing you about this on email for a while, so I'll speak very briefly. But I finally got around to watching Breaking Bad, the first three seasons, which are available on Netflix, and I highly, highly recommend it. It is just as excellent a show as everyone says it is. I think that what really impresses me about the show, this is, of course, the show about the high school science chemistry teacher who finds out he has terminal lung cancer, and so to make sure his family has enough money to continue on after he dies, he goes into the methamphetamine business. Makes sense. I mean, it's pretty much point A to point B there.
I mean, is it a kind of black humor thing, or do they play it? Is it like...
It's both. I mean, there's definitely humorous stuff in there, but I think what's impressive about the show is that everything that everyone does makes sense. There's a real kind of focus on the characters, the way it's written and the way it's paced. Everything feels very organic, and even though a lot of crazy, crazy stuff happens, I mean, there are episodes that just left me, you know, jaw dropped. Everything feels earned, which is a huge accomplishment, because usually you either have like a serialized show where, you know, it's all about the twists and turns and the character stuff suffers, or it's all about the character stuff and not a whole lot happens. I mean, Mad Men is a pretty good example of that. But this show, it's just really well put together. Things that happen in the first season play out in the third season. It's just really a very lean, mean show. And Bryan Cranston is, you know, amazing. He's, you know, as key to the show as like Timothy Oliphant is in Justified, and it's definitely way up there with any of those shows that we love. So I definitely recommend it to anyone who hasn't seen it. First three seasons, available on Netflix, totally worth watching. So,
nice. I know you talked about like Mad Men. So, I mean, do you think it is top of the heap? I mean, because that's what you hear a lot of. It's like,
I think so.
Better,
I mean,
than Mad Men, better than Justified.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's true. I mean, Justified is great, but I think that there's certainly subplots and characters that I know we don't care for, and that's a show that kind of leans so heavily on Timothy Oliphant's character. Breaking Bad is really a lot about Bryan Cranston's character, but there really aren't any wasted side characters. Everyone has really interesting arcs. Where they go from season one to season three is compelling and makes a lot, you know, it works. So, and definitely, I like it more than Mad Men. I think it's similar in that it's really smartly written. You know, the things that people say carry a lot of weight and carry, you know, the same kind of double meanings they do in Mad Men. But like I say, things actually happen on the show.
I give it
a lot of credit for that.
Right. So. Has it, and real quick, again, because it's tough to separate the two because on AMC, but they both get critically lauded. But, you know, does Breaking Bad get better as it goes on? Because I thought that was a problem with Mad Men, especially this last season. It kind of tapered off. Does it build, like, do you feel it gets better as it goes?
It definitely builds. I mean, there are certainly strengths. I think that season one really builds up. It starts with a very strong first episode. The next few episodes kind of start to kind of build up. And I think one of the things that struck me at the very beginning of the show is that I was not expecting it to be as slowly paced as it is. That's the wrong word. That's slow, but as kind of paced out, where like really every episode picks up kind of where the last one left off.
Gotcha.
There's not really any jumps ahead in time, even from season to season. Like the second season begins with the last scene of the first season and just continues. And that happens pretty much with all three seasons. It's just one continuous thing. So I think the first season builds. Second season is probably the best of the three, just because I think, like some other shows, certain you know, stuff gets kind of torn apart and has to be rebuilt in the third season, which happens on a lot of shows where you can't just kind of keep building and building. You have to kind of shift directions. But yeah, I think as far as the overall sense of, you know, he's, you know, Bryan Cranston's character starts with certain intentions and the realities of what this life means, you know, change and intensify, you know, what he has to do to make it work. So it's, yeah, I've heard, I haven't seen anything of the fourth season yet, which is on right now. I've heard some mixed things about it, but I definitely want to check it out. And I would probably even just go ahead and buy the episodes on Amazon, because I don't really want to wait. So.
Yeah, very good. Well, that's probably the best thing you could say about a show.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Anything else?
That's pretty much it.
Right, cool. Mac, how about you? 2 weeks. What have you been up to these last?
Yeah, lots going on. Probably the big exciting news is Castle is back with new episodes.
Right. Special guest star on Castle, I thought, right? Maybe it was last season. This was a guest star in Castle that interested me. Maybe it was a Firefly reunion or something like that? Buffy? No, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just way off.
There have been a lot of Whedon folks guest star, nobody major. I don't know who you would...
Nah, ignore me.
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure. Okay. You'll think of it just as soon as we stop recording. But no, the show's come back really strong. It's really great. The season premiere was sort of main character, Beckett, just kind of, you know, dealing with all the crap that went down in the season finale last spring and kind of her bouncing back from that and, you know, finding her strength again to go back to catching bad guys. And that was good. That was a really good episode. But then this last one that was on last Monday, I do believe it might have been the nerdiest hour of television ever produced.
Wow, that's quite a lot.
Yes. You know, Castle and Beckett are, investigating a murder, and they get the security camera footage, and the murder is a guy in a superhero costume.
Okay.
And from there, the comic book references were just nonstop throughout the whole episode. And the writers must be a huge comic book geeks, because, you know, it was just constant. And of course, me, I was loving it. So.
Nice. Castle and comic, Ben 10 showed up, you'd be in heaven.
Yeah, really. Actually, one of the actors from Castle, Molly Quinn, she guest starred on Ben 10 in its season premiere.
It's like a wormhole that's opening up to you. Yeah, it's everything coming together. So did it meet your expectations?
It did, yeah. It was really great. It's funny because the first episode of the season was a really serious one, a really dramatic one, and then the second episode of the season that turned on a dime was really, really funny. So it's really cool how the show can balance different tones and this still be really enjoyable.
Nice. Anything else?
Let's see. As of today, I now own all 52 of the DC Comics New 52 reboot. Mm-hmm. So I got every single one of the new first issues.
Have you read them all? Are they all vacuum sealed and put in your bunker?
Not yet. We're recording this on Wednesday, so I just got back from the comic store earlier today. So haven't read a lot of this week's yet, only a couple. But overall, it's interesting. You know, there are some highs and lows. Some of the really controversial books are really controversial for a reason. But there's some good stuff in there, too. So I'd say my personal favorite would be Batman. Which there are four Batman books. There's Detective Comics starring Batman. There's Batman the Dark Knight, Batman and Robin, and then one just called Batman. And that fourth one is the really good one. That's the one I thought was really excellent.
All right, so, very nice. Yeah. So is this like a? So will there be new storylines emanating from all these reboots?
Well, that's the plan. Yeah. Although some of them, I thought it was pretty hilarious how Green Lantern they're just pretending that it's not a reboot. They're just picking up right where the last issue left off and kind of like they don't even care.
Nice. So. All right. Well, Aquaman probably gets better treatment than Green Lantern at this point.
Aquaman wasn't bad.
Screwed over the fan base, I guess.
Yeah, Aquaman wasn't bad. For some reason, he's a celebrity. Everyone in the world like knows who he is, which is weird. It's like he goes to a restaurant and he can't eat there because he's being hounded for like autographs and stuff. So that was different, but... He's got a really hot girlfriend, and he wants to live on land because he's sick to death of the sea. But then there are sea monsters, so you know that he's going to have to go back to the sea eventually.
So. He's sick of Aquaman's sick of the sea. That's,
yes.
Sounds like it's off to a great start. Well, for me, I'll just give you guys, and you can feel free to jump in here, but my a quick rundown of the season premieres that I've watched the last couple weeks or so. And I haven't finished this one, and probably the biggest one. I know, Eric, you've seen it. I know we talked about it briefly. I'm not sure if you saw it, Mac, but Terra Nova, the Fox show.
I did see it, yeah.
I haven't quite, we're about like an hour and a half, you know, through it right now. And I have to say that I'm intrigued. Like, I'll probably keep watching for a little bit, even though I can objectively say, you know, there's certainly some corniness and I'm not quite glommed onto the family. And yeah, the dino effects aren't great. But for some reason, it's just, I don't know, it still seems like, and I kept, maybe it just, it feels cinematic or, I like the world. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's difficult for me to articulate, but it has interested me, even though I can't tell you that, you know, I'm loving every character or their dialogue is crackling, you know. Maybe it's just nice to see, what's his face, not running around in Avatar, blowing up cat aliens too.
Right.
but it, I mean, it's certainly, you know, ambitious, I guess, and I applaud. If it's not a CBS procedural, you know, I just appreciate that risk taking. So I don't know. I'll let you guys quickly what you thought, Mac.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little more being cynical about it. You know, I'm kind of watching this thinking, you know, I'll just bet pre-production started on this show the minute Avatar made all of its money. But because I feel like I'm being sold Avatar the series. So I guess that's just, I'm just being a cynical bastard, but I probably keep tuning in just to see where they go with it. I think it was a so-so premiere, but there is potential that it could explode into something
really good.
Yeah, that's
probably, I probably agree with that. How about you, Eric?
I agree with you. I think that there are definitely a lot of, there's some cheesy stuff in there that it's kind of the opposite of what I was talking about with something like Breaking Bad, but there's enough of kind of a mystery element, and I guess that's you kind of have to have that nowadays if you're going to have a TV show. And a lot of series have tried to successfully introduce kind of the mystery element, and there's definitely some kind of lost stuff going on there.
Totally.
And that's kind of, you know, frankly, that's the kind of stuff that will probably bring me back just to kind of, because otherwise, you know, the dinosaurs are, you know, they're okay, you know, and the world is interesting, but without that, I'm not sure they have a whole lot just to bring me back week after week, but I will definitely watch next week.
All right. Yeah, nice. And then real quick, the Thursday comedy half hours that we tend to like around here, I have to say didn't quite overwhelm me. Community I thought wasn't great. I mean, there was certainly some genius elements that are always in that show, but as a whole, it didn't really do much for me. So I don't know, maybe I'm in the minority. I know you love the show, Eric, so maybe you took it a different way. Parks and Rec, I thought, was a little iffy. I'm actually kind of not sure about the Nope for, you know, the Nope election. Not sure how that's going to – we'll see what happens there. And then I thought The Office was pretty confusing and dull. So, in fact, the premiere that I laughed at the most was Raising Hope. My wife had been really singing its praises. She watched all of last season. I just kind of sat down and tuned in. And I was laughing pretty hard in this past episode, second episode. Again, Eric, you get a kick out of this. They had the family was going over visiting like a wealthy rich family, and they're, you know, saying, "Oh, Hope's in the living room with the other kids watching Yo Gabba Gabba." And they go in there, and it's like the actual Yo Gabba Gabba characters. That's around. It's TV, you know.
That's awesome. That's funny.
Dancing around, and like at the end, like they were. There was a, like, Stephen Root was a guest star on this, and he had just divorced his wife and. Or his, not divorced, but he was like mad at his wife, so he's skeet shooting with her fine china. So at the end of the show, Plex is throwing up this china in the air and they're shooting it. So
that's awesome.
That was pretty
that's
fun. Awesome. So that's I would actually kind of recommend that. I might check it out. I guess the first season's on Netflix too. So.
Yeah. I'm mostly with you. I mean, I think I probably did like Community more than that just because they do so much and there's a lot of detail, a lot of layered stuff and just a lot of ambitious, smart things going on, even if it wasn't, you know, laugh out loud funny the whole way. I really appreciate what they did. I'm with you on Parks and Rec. I'm not crazy about, you know, like the Nope for Office thing.
That's an ensemble comedy. Wouldn't we agree on that? I mean,
I think there's sort of a few problems. One, you kind of like really pushing her out to the front, so you're kind of diminishing the ensemble stuff. You got Tom off doing his own thing, so he's not maybe going to be around in the same way, which is.
And if you're going to have him do his own stuff with Entertainment 720, you got to give us John Ralphio, right?
Totally. And so far, not crazy about the Ron Swanson stuff, just because they kind of took him out of commission.
Right.
I mean, maybe the stuff with Tammy One and the IRS stuff will be good. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's the first episode.
Right.
Of a great show, of great shows all around. So we might as well.
Right. How about The Office? What do you think of The Office?
The Office, I think, was okay. I mean, I think they did about as well as they were going to post Steve Carell. I'm okay with the Andy, what's his name? Robert California.
Yeah, although they toned him down considerably from the last.
Yeah. Yes.
They made him less bizarre.
Let's see what
happens.
It's a show that I'll probably watch because there's not going to be a whole lot to watch now that we're down to only streaming stuff.
Right.
So we'll probably watch it because it's on, but I think it'll probably be about the same as last season.
I agree with that. And then real quick, last but not least, on Friday, two premieres that I'm looking forward to. Fringe, which really has its hands full with a crazy mystery, which I won't talk about, but, you know, that's obviously going to be a slow build. And this is a show now that they're just all mythology going right for, I read somewhere, and they're not looking at growing, they know that they've got like a fixed fan base, and they just don't think they can grow it, so they're going all mythology. So, good for me because I tuned in from the beginning, but I'm going to go in and pick up. So, and especially like there's a huge mystery they're tackling, and then Supernatural. Again, I've sung the praises, and I thought it was easily the best premiere I saw, the best premiere.
Right.
That show just continues to defy the odds at being on CW and whatnot, but again, a very strong premiere there, so I highly recommend that. But that's it. So maybe we can move on real quick to talking about anything interesting of note. Mac, you got anything coming out for review?
Yeah, it's already on the site now. Before I left for my trip, I was lucky enough to review Thor on Blu-ray. Just right at the time it hit stores.
That's right. You're a big Thor fan.
Yes, you guys might disagree with me, but I really dug the movie. I thought it was really enjoyable, one of my favorite movies of the year. So, was it perfect? No, but, you know, whatever, it really kind of hit the right, you know, notes for me, as it were.
Nice.
So, and, the Blu-ray has a lot of bonus features and, you know, a lot of, you know, hammer swinging action, so it's all good.
That's good. All right, Eric?
A couple of very, very quick things. Last week, I reviewed another one of those straight-to-DVD Barbie movies.
You've been pigeonholed, I guess.
No, it was the second one. And the exact same problem I had with the other one I reviewed is that it is so transparently, materialistic, and it's all about selling the toy, and it's just like the messaging is just really, really rubs me the wrong way. I mean, this is called Princess Charm School, and it's set in this sort of fictional world where every little girl wants to grow up to be a princess. So you have this aristocracy, and everyone wants to be either a princess or a lady royal who like their assistants to princesses, and it's just such this, I don't know, it's just all about conformity, and I don't know. I'm probably getting way too philosophical for a Barbie cartoon, but it just really offends me.
Sounds like a bunch of Cylons running around in the Princess Charm School.
It's just got such a Stepford Wife quality to it that I can't
expose your daughter to it. That's what
no, not at all. I mean, they have some kind of really like milquetoast sort of empowering tagline, but it's not at all. It's about Mattel selling toys and trademarking everybody's name. So it's just
that's right.
Really, this time they trademarked the name Nicholas.
That is awesome.
I don't know how they did that.
So now you can't name if you have a son, you can't name Nicholas.
Not anymore. Now without giving Mattel its cut. And then another kid show this week is called Jake and the Neverland Pirates. It's a Disney Junior cartoon, if you've seen any of this kind of stuff, it's in the same vein as like a Mickey Mouse Clubhouse where It's taking, you know, some of the Disney characters and kind of repurposing them, and it's really interactive. They're always asking the kids, or asking the audience, will you come help us do this? And then they're silent for a few seconds, and then they say, great!
Yeah. Like a
which, I imagine, type of thing. Which I imagine, you know, if your kid is in a bad mood, can really ruin the suspension of disbelief.
That's right.
Will you come help me get this back? No. Great!
That's right.
All right, sounds like you had a full week. I guess a couple things are out already. I reviewed the Best Buy exclusive Blu-ray release of The Naked Gun.
And, oh, sure.
I mean, yeah. It really is a hilarious movie. You know, I mean, even now, I mean, I remember watching it, you know, 1988 with my neighbors, my kid, you know, we were kids at the time watching it, just laughing like crazy. And even, it's still really funny. And it just shows you kind of the steep drop off in those kind of gag a second, you know, spoof films. I mean, you look at Naked Gun compared to Meet the Spartans or Dayton or something, you know, right. It's just not even close.
Kind of a lost art.
It is absolutely a lost art. I mean, there's so many great lines, you know. I mean, doctors say Norberg has a 50-50 chance of living, but there's only a 10% chance of that. I mean, it's just great. You know? just great stuff. And all right, so that's it. So Naked Gun is awesome as ever. And then my Transformers Dark of the Moon review, a transparent double dip. You want to talk about transparency, Eric? This one's a cash grab. They even offer a coupon for money off the real release.
Nice.
Like, buy this, and you get, like, you know, $5 off, you know, essentially the real release with all the extras, because there's none of this, you know. But it was definitely a schizophrenic movie for me, as I outlined in my review. Like, the first half is just the typical just brutal Michael Bay over-the-top poop joke, you know, pointless side story stuff, you know, just excruciating. But then that movie just shifts to Chicago, like, for the last hour. It really is just an amazing action spectacle, for sure. So, and I'm probably more of a Transformers apologist than anyone else on this planet, you know, but I thought that last hour of action was genuinely fantastic. I mean, you kind of have to claw through some rubble to get to it. But again, that's what the disc forward button is for. So, all right. So that is that. So let's, Mac, why don't you retake your responsibility and tell us what's next?
All right. We're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. And then we're going to scroll down to the cover art gallery for October 4th. Just going to talk about what's on the list here that catches our eyes. Probably the big Hollywood release of the week would have to be The Lion King on Blu-ray,
right,
which is currently cleaning up at the box office and the IMAX.
Yeah, I guess there's also, I think also the Beauty and the Beast is on here too, but...
Was that a re-release? Because that came out. I was.
Oh, it might be. It might be.
I buy that for sure. Now there's the special edition of the Bruins Stanley Cup run, which I reviewed the kind of, you know, the standard issue 1 hour or so recap of it, and this one is, I guess it's got the full games on it, like all of Boston's wins in this, I'm reading the description, the Stanley Cup final and the seventh game of the conference final in Tampa Bay. And those are actually genuinely, entertaining games. So, especially if you're a Bruins fan, you can relive that all. But, the Vancouver series was highly entertaining. So.
You've also got, both the Blu-ray release of Pee-wee's Big Adventure and his Pee-wee's new, Broadway special, both out.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I really want to see that.
Here's a movie I was interested in, and so that's like the only popcorn blockbuster that I didn't get to see was Fast Five, and I heard it was pretty entertaining, actually. So I'm actually looking forward to that.
Yeah, I heard that too. I heard they kind of dropped the car racing angle and just made an
action
movie.
Right. I mean, because really, after four of them, I mean, we get it. They're hijacking tractor trailers and Blu-ray players. Got it. Enough. Oh, Chopkick Panda and Friends. Ouch.
Yes. Four movie set.
Oh, man, four. Chopkick Panda.
Speaking of four, we got Scream 4 is coming out. It's kind of a disappointment for me, and I'm a fan of the first movie.
A couple Tarantino Blu-ray releases, Pulp Fiction and Jackie Brown.
Are those first timers?
I think so, yeah, first time.
Oh, wow.
Well, did you guys see this Lion King special edition with a bongo drum?
Nice.
Eight discs.
Wow.
Yeah, bongo drum, boy. That won't drive parents crazy.
I know. $75, eight discs.
Wow.
Blu-ray 3D, Blu-ray, DVD, digital copy. Wow. Oh, it's the Lion. It's got the Lion King 2. Those had a couple of the sequels too, I guess.
That's a movie I only saw once. I wasn't crazy about it. I probably should watch it again, but I know it's well regarded.
Wait, is this the Walking Dead here? What is this? This already came out, right?
That's the special edition of the first season.
Oh, what is that?
Double Dip.
Yeah. Hmm. There, Weird Al Yankovic live.
I know. I was going to point that out. I really, really want to see that.
And also, again, another hat tip to Naked Gun. All three movies feature Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, that's there right. He's got a cameo. Yeah.
Just shows both how awesome Naked Gun movies and Weird Al Yankovic are. And this movie, Submarine, I remember hearing good things about that. Mac, did I read something you wrote that you liked it, or am I?
I actually have the disc here, but I'm afraid I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, okay, never mind. That's where I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, look for that coming soon on the site. I'm going to review that.
Jeez. Nice. Right next to that, Space Jam on Blu-ray.
Oh, boy, that, you want to talk. Okay, Barbie, Charming, whatever. Yeah, that is brutal. Space Jam is 1,000 times worse as far as, like, transparent trying to sell crap to your kids. this is a movie that stars two prominent New York Knicks in it, and it's still, I can't get behind it. It's terrible. Let's see. Well, there's a PBS special on Prohibition just in time for the premiere of Boardwalk Empire.
Nice.
And this is the new Ken Burns documentary.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
They were going to say just in time for Oktoberfest.
That'd be, yeah. Little shout out to Dead Alive on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah. If you want to see something good with zombies in it, on Blu-ray this week.
That's right. I mean, it really is. What has eclipsed that, you know?
So just on Blu-ray, imagine all the detail you get on the screen here.
Yeah, that still is pretty insane. All right, well, there you go. Inadvertently sounding DVD release of the week. Mac, what do you got?
All right, inadvertently sleazy sounding. Let's see. I had it here just a second ago. Oh, there you go. How about The Hollies Look Through Any Window?
It's good.
That's good.
Oh, man, real quick, I just saw something that looks terrible. The 12 Dogs of Christmas. Oh. Okay, Eric, go ahead.
Moby Dick.
Not very nice. That works. You know,
it's a classic. You got to go back to the chestnut.
Yeah. Man, I'm going to have to... I guess I'll just go with Dinky Dog.
I thought about doing that one.
Just because I wanted to say the word dinky.
You didn't want to go with Puss in Boots?
No, that's pretty good, too. Right. Puss in Boots and Dinky Dog. That sounds pretty good. All right. Here we go. Moving on now. Ambush topics, random topics. We throw at each other. Mac, welcome back. You go first.
Okay. First topic, disc jockeys.
I don't know. What's his face? I don't know. I should know this. So my geek cred is cratered. But who's the disc jockey from Gremlins, right?
Oh.
He plays a key role in the plot. So I don't know who that is.
It's what? Something Ricky, right?
Yeah. Oh, you're right, I think.
Wait a second. A disc jockey plays a prominent role in Gremlins?
Well, he plays a key role in the plot. I mean, he's announcing kind of...
He has, like, one little scene where he's, like, announcing stuff, and then I think he maybe gets attacked. I just watched this, like, a couple weeks ago.
And there's a couple parts I thought, like, I mean, because he's like, we're going to turn the hoses on him, right? He says that.
Wait, what? No. This is not Gremlins.
It is Gremlins.
There's no disc jockey.
There's the disc jockey, right?
No. Are you talking about, like, the Grandpa Munster guy in Gremlins 2?
No. Mac, am I crazy?
I just watched these movies. Why do I know this?
Okay, let me hang on. We're Googling it. Okay.
That's right. Let's get the interns on this. Eric, you got one while we're looking this up and verifying?
Right, yeah. I'm actually trying to remember how this works. In the movie The Fisher King... Jeff Bridges plays the, I guess he's more of a talk show host, I guess, but he, ends up spurring the guy on who murders.
That's a movie I've not seen. Unfortunately, I've got to.
Oh really?
Yeah, I never saw The Fisher King. All right, did you find anything yet, Mac?
I'm looking.
The only, I mean, the hose is in Gremlins 2.
No, Gremlins 1, I'm telling you.
There's no hose in Gremlins 2, in Gremlins 1.
It's set in the background.
They talk about it.
Very quick, set in the background.
It might, I mean, there's definitely a disc jockey on the radio talking, like,
that's when
the
cops are in the car. You're correct.
And he's going to attack. But he's not, he doesn't play a prominent role.
He hoses on him.
Maybe he does, I don't remember that part. I just did a podcast about Gremlins. I can't hold it.
All right, Matt, can you multitask? Can you give us your ambush topic and continue researching this important element as well?
All right. Yeah, for me, when I was this trip that I keep talking about, I was in New York and I saw the show Memphis. And a really funny character in that show is the young guy who becomes a disc jockey. And but he has no training, he has no skills. He just ends up in the booth one day and starts like shooting his mouth off, and becomes this big star. And it's hilarious. The thing he keeps saying over and over on the air is "Hakadoo this, Hakadoo that." And this is and takes place in the 50s, so you can get away with that. And it creates this huge controversy because no one knows what Hakadoo means, so therefore everyone just assumes that it's something filthy.
Nice. Yes. Very good. Hakadoo. All right. Anything else about Gremlins?
I'm looking here.
All right, still cracking. All right, I'll go next. And it is that time of year in beautiful New England and possibly the New York area where Eric dwells. But it's foliage, fall foliage time here. So anything to do with fall, easy. So you can do anything. Pumpkins and apples and leaves, anything. Fall-related tomfoolery.
A few months ago, I watched the movie Trick or Treat for the first time, which I think you reviewed, Dave.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Our Treat.
Trick or Treat.
Oh, yeah.
which is a really good, creepy little...
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, especially the freaking kid throwing up in the beginning.
Yeah, and the way everything kind of fits together. I did a very dumb thing. When I read your review, it so intrigued me that I went to Wikipedia and I read the plot summary, which I never ever do. I don't know why I did. I can't justify my actions.
I have done that though. So. And what'd you think of the plot? What'd you think of the plot summary?
It was really good.
That's good.
it was good seeing it too. But yeah, there's some creepy fall imagery in that movie for sure.
All right.
I guess Mac found something here.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to take a step back here. The disc jockey in Gremlins is Rockin' Ricky Rialto.
Wow. Found in the Gremlins wiki.
Yes. And there's a screen cap here from the movie of a billboard where Rockin' Ricky is dressed up like Indiana Jones. Rockin' Ricky is an unseen character, but he reports on the goings on around town. Let's see, he refers to the little green guys, and at first he's skeptical, says it's Orson Welles' crap, but that's... then he's later attacked by gremlins, he screams in horror.
All right, well.
And so on. So, right, yeah, well. There you go.
I think the fact it took us 10 minutes to find it suggests he's not a major character. Well, part of that's me trying to save face. So.
Okay.
Okay, good. Fall.
Yeah, fall. That's what Ricky Rialto away and never.
Let's see. How about that movie Monster House? See that?
Oh yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, that takes place in fall, and they use a lot of of that sort of Halloween type haunted house imagery, and I believe the opening shot is even leaves falling off the trees with all their colors and whatnot.
You nailed the ambush topic. all right. For me, I'm going to go with my old standby, my favorite, Gymkata. And the fight scene at the end between Jonathan Cabot, our Gymkata champion, and the evil Zamir. I believe, yeah, Zamir, not Zamfir, the Pan Fu guy.
That's a fight I'd like to see.
Yeah. And it's pretty obvious because of his Gymkata prowess that they're fighting on mats because he's flipping over and whatnot. So they need to put mats down on the ground. But to hide the mats, they just dump a ton of leaves on it. So if you watch that end fight sequence, it's just overpowered by the sounds of crunching leaves. just leaves everywhere. So it takes a little bit away from the high stakes that that fight is having. So just a lot of leaves. A lot of leaves. All right. Eric, finish it off.
All right. One word. Guitars.
Guitars. All right. I'm going to go right where you know I'm going.
Okay.
Voyage of the Rock Aliens.
Oh, nice.
That's right. A movie that is criminally not on DVD yet.
Just, yeah, what's up with that?
I do not understand that. But well, obviously it's terrible. No one's seen it, but still. But our rock aliens, as portrayed by the band Rima, are traveling through planets looking for rock and roll, and they are traveling in a guitar-shaped spaceship, which doesn't appear in the NASA, you know, readouts or whatever, but that's how they get from place to place. And then they of course, rock with their guitars with their, what, Devo rip-off synth pop? Is that how you describe it, Eric? I don't know.
I think you just say new wave. You can be
new credit. Wave, that's true, right? New
you,
wave.
Can be, you can be charitable to Rima and say that.
That's right. For the Friday filibuster, charitable to Rima. All right, go ahead, Mac. What do you got?
Let's see. There's a classic bit from Animal House during the toga party. The one sort of dorky hippie guy is playing his guitar, singing some folk song. John Belushi comes along, picks up the guitar, and just smashes it. Classic.
Nice.
Classic. All right, well, I'm going to go with another classic guitar scene, beginning of Back to the Future, when Marty goes over to Doc Brown's house.
Excellent.
Cranks up the amp, plugs in the guitar, and then blows himself backwards. Excellent.
Very good. A lot of great guitars in that later in the movie, obviously.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right. All right, well, that is it for the Friday Filibuster. So thank you for tuning in. Friday Filibuster DVDverdict.com is our email. And we haven't heard from his voice in so long, so Mac, take us away.
Hockadoo.